Happy Heritage Classic Day to
Hell yeah, let's go!
Celebrate. Jesus, dude, it is 10:30. I need some more time before I can just start screaming and everything. My God. But yeah, today's the day.
Yeah, today is the day.
Yeah.
Look, yeah. It is 10:30, but
it is 10:30.
Yeah. I'm very, very excited right now. Number one.
Me too.
Number one, I thought it was just going to be me going to the Heritage Classic today. For anyone,
you did.
Our YouTube listeners, I'm wearing my Marner jersey right now. Say what you want about him. I don't give a shit. I love him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm wearing his jersey right now. I got my Leafs hat on. I'm probably going to leave in a couple hours. But then I found out like a couple days ago that Mr. Simon is also going to.
Yeah, I'm going.
What a turn of events that was. Can you explain how you put your hands on a ticket?
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, I wasn't planning on going to see initially. I was at the one in Ann Arbor. To me, I was like, okay, like it's like if you go back and watch the video and like you see like the highlights of the like that was an unbelievable atmosphere for an outdoor game. It's at the big house in Michigan. It was snowing. Anyways, I didn't feel like I really needed to go to this game. So I didn't get tickets. I was like, you know what? Tickets are very expensive. Yada, yada, yada. Whatever. Fine. So then obviously tickets sold out from the like regular box office. People reselling tickets, obviously, but tickets are very, very expensive.
Yep.
And then my sister's boyfriend, shout out Armand. Other Armand, not you, Armand. My sister's boyfriend's also named Armand. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. So, my sister's boyfriend, Armand, was selling his tickets for, I think it was for face value. I'm not 100% sure. Anyways, because he couldn't go, his brother couldn't go or something like that. So, I reached out and I took his tickets off his hands because, you know, this really is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Sorry, second, like, each game is really once in a lifetime opportunity, and I kind of thought it'd be crazy not to go just because it's in Hamilton. It's a 2-hour drive. It's like a 1-hour drive.
Yeah.
It looks like the weather is going to be absolutely gorgeous. It looks like it's going to be some snow right around freezing. Like, I think it's going to be a really, really good atmosphere. But yeah, I just kind of decided. One of my friends really wanted to go. Looking forward to going to the game, but yeah, the crazy thing is we're sitting like two sections apart.
Yeah,
that's the other crazy thing. You're in like 120, like B. I'm in like 120 D. Like, oh my God.
Like, yeah, it's right there. Like,
it's in the end zone. But yeah,
what we're probably gonna do is I'm going with my buddy, and we're gonna go a little earlier because we're thinking of getting food, but we're like probably not after we have work tomorrow as well. So let's just grab some food before.
Yeah,
it's at Wingporium, by the way, if you want to reach, or if any one of our listeners want to do a signing.
Maybe I'll come early. Maybe we'll go early and meet you there. What time are you going for?
We'll probably be there around 1.
Interesting. Okay. So, anyways, this is the 30? So
yeah.
I'll let you know. We'll figure it out. This is for after the pod talk. But yeah. So we're both the whole taxi squad is reaching the Heritage Classic. If you see us there, definitely say hi. Anyways.
Yeah, I'm excited because this is the first time I'm going to see you, whether it's before the game or during the game, 100%. It's
like
years, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. It's been like 6 years. Something like that. It's wild.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. Holy fuck.
Yep.
I'm excited. I'm just, regardless of the Leafs' recent record, which has been pretty dog shit, honestly, they lost to Arizona 5-4 on Thursday. Was it Thursday or Wednesday?
Yeah, Thursday.
Not good. And then they also lost to Buffalo 5-1 the game before.
And they lost to Vancouver. They've lost a lot of really questionable games, which is fine.
They blew a lead against Seattle. Remember that one too?
Yeah. This is a whole another animal. It's an outdoor game. People don't really care. I think people are concerned about Peter Mrazek, and rightfully so. But as a whole today, I think, like, especially for today, I think everything kind of goes out the window just with the excitement of the Heritage Classic, which again, it's a special event. I'm not going to pretend like it's not. And I kind of hope that's kind of how people look at this game, because like, I know it's a regular season game and no points are on the line, whatever, but like, man, like, I just really hope people have the, I hope people take it in, hope people really enjoy it, because again, I don't know the next time Leafs are going to be an outdoor game, probably sooner rather than later, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL always hosts outdoor games because, like, what's the main purpose? It's to generate awareness for
money.
The
sport,
also for the money.
Yeah.
Mainly
for the money. More so for the money, but yes.
More so for the money. And so what better place to do it than in a large ass market like Toronto or Hamilton, you know, along the GTA? Yeah. Anywhere in Southern Ontario, you hold an outdoor game, you're going to get a lot of money back in return. You're going to make a profit.
It seems crazy to me. This is a Buffalo Sabres home game, but I mean, this isn't the first time that there's going to be majority Leafs fans at a Buffalo Sabres home game.
Why is it a home game? It's in Canada. It's in Hamilton.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's the strangest thing. I feel like maybe the NHL schedule got released or they made it before the Heritage Classic game was going to be penciled in.
I have no idea. Maybe the answer is just it was the easiest way to try to get Leafs fans to come out, but like just make it a home game then. Anyways, I don't really know. I'm sure there's some reasoning behind it, which is kind of difficult to see. But yeah, like at the end of the day, it's not a huge thing. Yeah. In fact, I actually don't mind it being a road game because it means the Leafs actually get to play more games at like home. As opposed to outdoors, they get one more actual home game, which I don't mind. But again, like it's like it doesn't impact our ability to go to the game. So it's literally like it has almost a zero effect on our actual enjoyment of it. At least my enjoyment of it. I don't know how other fans feel, but that's just that's my take on it.
I'm also very excited because there's a good chance that I'm going to the next Leafs game as well, which is against Dallas on Tuesday. My friend got
That's crazy
ticket. So yeah. I could be doing a back to back right now.
That's crazy.
Which is like
lucky. Yeah. Yeah, this is gonna be it for me for a while, probably. This is I think my first game since the Rangers game, like the second home game or something like that back in October, where Igor Shesterkin just absolutely just ruined my life and just took that one game away from me in overtime.
Oh, that's okay.
Regardless, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good game.
This will be my last Leafs game I attended since November against the Bruins. We won 5-2. I remember that one.
Oh, I remember that game. I was in Niagara. Good game.
So today, it's funny that we're talking about the Heritage Classic like it's an event and it's going to be a spectacle and everything, which it is. But there's only like 3 games left before the trade deadline. And it's in a weird and twisted way, as much as we want to have fun with this outdoor game, this game is going to be under the spotlight and Kyle Dubas will be using the results of this game to fuel his trade deadline acquisitions. That's a fact.
Oh, no. Here, though. Hold on. I think it's true to one extent. I've seen this on Twitter a lot. I think this is 100% true. This game is going to decide Peter Mrazek's future as a Toronto Maple Leaf, I think. He's making $3.9 million. And he has 2 years left on this contract. They're in a win now mode. And Peter Mrazek has the lowest save percentage of any goalie who has played 15 games. That is a fact.
Okay.
He
Hold on, quick thing. So let's get into the our top three trade deadline.
Yes, sir. Let's go. Yep. Okay.
So we'll start with you first. Explain your reasoning on Mrazek and Volynov, and then I'll switch to my goalie target as well.
Okay. Yeah. So. One guy I think that makes a lot of sense for Toronto is Semyon Varlamov. He's a very good number, very solid numbers. I think all the Islanders goalies the last couple of years have had really very solid numbers. Now you can say it's part of the Islander system, which I'm sure is right, but he's a very solid goalie. He's a manageable cap hit. I think he's under contract for one more year after this season at around $4 million, something like that. He does have a no trade clause. So he would have to waive his no trade. I don't know if he would waive it to come to Toronto. I would think he would. I don't know why he wouldn't. But anyways, so that's up in the air. But like, in terms of goalies that are on the market, there's not a whole lot available. Braden Holtby's a name that's been thrown around. But with the state of Dallas and how well they're doing, I don't know if they're going to. I've been curious to see if the Leafs maybe kick tires on Anton Khudobin, who's in the minors right now. He's always been someone who's been, not always, but like he was good a couple of years ago. And Elliot Friedman brought up a really good point on, I think it was hot stove a couple nights ago before the year, during the Arizona Coyotes game, we're talking about Peter Mrazek. And that's at this point, like, especially with goaltending, if you need a goalie, teams are just going to fleece you because you have no leverage. Like, and I think it's difficult, but like, I think Semyon Varlamov could be very cost effective. He had another year of term, I believe. So I think he makes a lot of sense. But yeah, like I think that's really it. I don't think really think there's anything else to that. I think he's a pretty solid goalie, cost effective in his term.
Let's talk about Peter Mrazek a little bit. He's been having a very, very, very shaky last few games. He's had a very shaky season, to be honest with you. Everyone thought in the Leafs Nation that he'd be a perfect tandem partner to Jack Campbell. Well, first of all, the story was Jack Campbell for the majority of the first half of the season stole the show. Like, he was phenomenal for the Leafs and top three in the league. I'd even say, like, he was the best goaltender in the league for up until like mid-December. He was the best. It was him and Igor Shesterkin. And then after that, around the All-Star break, he started to falter. And then he fell off a cliff. Like, he had a stretch run. We talked about this last episode too, where like what, eight, seven of his last 11 games end up being a save percentage of the 800s. And they tried to squeeze Mrazek in there as well. That was weird. Like, Mrazek is all over the place in like his fundamentals. If you look at him and if you watch the way he ever saves a puck or he skates or anything, he's just like literally all over the place. He doesn't know where like his net is sometimes, which is very scary to think. And so they tried Erik Sjallgren as well, I remember. They have I think Justin Wall. No, sorry, who is that again?
Joseph Wall, yeah.
Joseph Wall. Yeah, sorry.
They have Joseph Wall. They have Sjogren. They have Michael Hutchison, who's
Oh my
not
God.
much better, but like, I don't know, man. I heard a stat recently. So we are currently in, what is it? October, sorry, October, January, sorry, October, November, December, January, February. We're currently going into our 6th month of the season, the 6th being March. So 6 months. How many months do you think the Leafs have had a goaltending above 900? And
Ooh,
maybe you've heard this,
I have not
but I
heard this
don't
one.
like. Okay.
I'm gonna say three.
They've had one,
Wait,
and that
what?
was November. Yep. In the
No.
whole season, they've had one season where their goaltending's been above 900.
That
And
makes no
I'm telling
sense.
you right now.
How does that
I'm
make
telling you
sense?
right now. I'm pretty sure it's because Peter Mrazek is dragging down Jack Campbell's save percentage.
It has to be that, I think.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And here's the crazy thing about that. Take that in. We were talking about Jack Campbell as a Vezina candidate, Vezina favorite, probably one of the best goalies in the league up until the All-Star break. That speaks volumes to how poorly Jack Campbell, sorry, not Jack Campbell, how poorly Peter Mrazek has played. And the thing is, like, if you watch the Leafs play, they are like a one mediocre goaltender away from being like right up there, probably leading the division and everything like that. They obviously have their flaws. The defense probably needs some address, needs to be addressed. But like in terms of like just the talent on paper, like, man, we've seen it. So, anyways, I.
Currently, the Leafs are 1 point back of the Tampa Bay Lightning for second place in the Atlantic Division, and then they're 6 points back of Florida for first place.
And that's with their shitty goaltending. So like I think it says volume about the potential this team has. So not even potential, like, because they're playing so well. Sorry, that's not so well. They've been very inconsistent as of late. So, but like, I don't know, man.
But it's also because of
I
Mrazek.
hope.
They've been inconsistent
Oh,
because
for
of Mrazek.
sure. For sure. No, absolutely. Like, yeah. Anyways, like, there's so many things that like that can be said about Peter Mrazek and the thing with in the current state of the Leafs goaltending right now. But like, I don't know, man. I really hope Peter Mrazek figures it out, but I'm not exactly optimistic. And if I'm being honest, that's kind of why I think if you're the Leafs, you might want to shift your strategy at the trade deadline to be a little less kind of a little less aggressive, because I don't know what their game plan is, but I just don't feel comfortable at all right now with the goaltending,
Me
and
either.
I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, and I just don't know how realistic it is that we're going to be. Sorry, I'm sure we'll get into this later. I just don't know how realistic it is to expect the Leafs are going to be able to make a significant enough goaltending change to remove any doubt, or and maybe that's just something you have to live with, and or not live up, but maybe that's just something a lot more teams have we just don't realize. But like, it's just such an uncertain time, and it's such an uneasy feeling to watch the team right now with the goaltending. But anyways,
of the 16 games that Peter Mrazek has started for the Leafs this season, how many do you think? Let me see. Was it 16 games? Correct. It was 16 games. Sorry, 14 games that Peter Mrazek started for the Leafs this season. How many do you think he has a 9-10 save percentage or greater in?
Two.
Yes.
I have no idea, but yeah.
It's just two.
Not surprising.
It's he had a 967 game against Minnesota on February 24th. And then before that, in January 22nd, he had a 964 against New York Islanders, who also, they just
can't score. Yeah.
Islanders can't score. So like,
it's the Islanders. I don't know.
Nope. Other than that, every single game, his third best was a 909 against Washington, which was February 28th.
That's second best? Are you fucking shit? Okay. Yeah.
Everything after that is like 900 or below.
That's fucked. Oh my god.
Yeah. His last
game against
Arizona was actually statistically his worst of the season, where he had a 667 save percentage.
667.
Four goals on 12 shots. Then you got pulled, remember?
Yeah. Oh man, Peter. Like, here's the thing, right? Like, I get people go through struggles. Like, his quotes and his media availability after the game is just so freaking brutal. I was listening to Justin Bourne and Nick Kiprios talk about it. I don't typically like Kipper. I'm a huge Justin Bourne fan, but anyways, but like, Peter Mrazek basically kind of shrugged it off, like, okay, whatever, it's in the past, I'm gonna leave it in the past. The fact he's on a bit more concerned is slightly concerning. Now, maybe his mindset is like, it is literally in the past. There's no point in him kind of worrying about it. That's fine. But like, I don't know, man, that just seems very passive for someone who is basically like, he's literally causing the Leafs to lose. And I kind of would have thought he would take a bit more ownership for the fact he's been absolute dog shit for the last month and a half or whatever. Now, granted, there's a lot of people who say Jack Campbell should be more like that. So, like,
yeah,
I don't know, man. I guess if you're a fan of the team, you're probably hoping for something in the middle between those two somewhere.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, it's just – I just think we're getting at a point now where if you're Kyle Dubas, you got to be very careful, because if you don't – I just worry about the fan base really, like, turning on Peter Mrazek and things getting really ugly. Especially today, potentially at an outdoor game where people are spending a lot of money, people are making a trip out to Hamilton, and if it gets a situation like the Leafs lose like 6-1 or something like that,
there's gonna be a lot of people with their eyes on Peter Mrazek today, and there's gonna be outcry if he starts one more game after today, and if they lose.
Yeah, there was an actual thought today, or actual thought leading up to the game, saying, should Eric Sjogren start this game? Because he looked very comfortable he looked very comfortable in the rest of that game during the Arizona Coyote game. So, I mean, like, I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie. I'm nervous, but, anyways, it is what it is. Nothing we knew about it. So just enjoy the game.
Yeah, we'll try to enjoy it and soak it in as much as possible. Hopefully, Peter, please, 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 don't let the Leafs lose against Buffalo today. If you lose, I'm going to be so, so mad. I'm going to be fuming, man. The other thing I was going to mention, Jack Campbell, he is placed on LTIR as of days ago.
I think it was IR. I don't think it was LTIR.
Sorry, yeah, IR. LTIR has to be greater than 2 weeks. This was just a two-week injury, apparently. He has a rib injury. Yeah. Question is, how long has he had this? We don't know. Could it be related to his poor performance over the last couple months? We don't know either. If it was, though, the question that begs the question, why haven't the Leafs put him on IR earlier? Was it just because they don't trust Mrazek? Or what was up with that? I don't know. Will we ever know?
So Morgan Rielly had a quote. I think it was at practice 2 days ago or something like that. Apparently, he told Morgan Rielly it's something he's been dealing with for a while. Okay. Now granted, if he's I believe so. A couple of things. Number one, I do believe he's been dealing with this for a while. Number two, I do believe this. It must have played some impact in how poorly he's played the last little bit.
100%.
And number three, why didn't Leafs do anything about it? I feel very, very confident that Jack Campbell didn't tell anyone about this. Like, now.
Well, that's not good either, the Leafs, Jack.
I know it's not. But the typical stereotype with athletes is they're going to play through the pain, they're going to get through it, yada, 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 yeah, painkillers, whatever.
You're putting your team at risk.
I know. And maybe that's why Jack Campbell finally came out and said, I have to do something, because like it's gotten to a point now where it feels like he's actually costing them games. But because I also think, like, if you're Jack Campbell, you must know. Like, he's watching the games that Peter Mrazek's starting. You must know that as soon as he's gone, like, you're basically, like, it's a 50-50 shot with whether or not the Leafs win. Like, and that's the thing, right? Like, so, anyways, I do hope he gets better. I do think he'll be fine. Now, here's the thing, though. He's out 2 weeks. The trade deadline's in 3 games. You cannot even plan for if he's gonna, because you have no idea which Jack Campbell you're getting back after the trade deadline. Is it the good one? Is it the bad one? It's probably somewhere in the middle, for being honest. But like,
you don't know.
You have no idea.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, okay, so now I'm gonna lead up to my trade deadline goalie acquisition. So you said Varlamov. Yeah. Varlamov.
I said Semyon, Semyon Varlamov.
So here's my justification first before I say this name. The Leafs are kind of screwed at the goalie position right now because they bet big on Campbell and Mrazek at the beginning of the season as their tandem. But now, in a horrible way, the entire fan base is less confident at the trade deadline about the current two goalies than they were last season at the trade deadline. And remember,
and that's saying something.
Last season at the trade deadline, they had Jack Campbell. So this is before they acquired Dave Riddick. They had Jack Campbell and who?
Oh my God. Freddie Anderson.
Slash Michael Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And Freddie Anderson being injured at that time, they could not rely on him at all. So that's why they brought in a Dave Riddick, Big Save Dave, who did not make any big save for the Leafs at all, not even one. And so the Leafs brass, the management, were unconfident that Jack Campbell could be the starter. Well, they were confident in it, but they were unconfident that, okay, let's say he gets injured, who's gonna serve as his backup? Is it gonna be Freddie? Is it gonna be Hutchinson? No, they decided to bring up Dave Riddick, and that's who their backup was gonna be for the playoffs. And it seemed like that was the case. Perfect. This season, are you confident in Campbell? I don't know. Like, if he comes back from the rib injury, I don't know. You just kind of have to hope for the best. Mrazek, as of right now, no, not at all.
Yeah.
You can't start Mrazek in a playoff game, man. At least haven't won in how many years? Yeah. And the worst fucking feeling is you're going to go into the playoffs this year. If they don't address the goaltending situation, you're going to have arguably the best Leafs forward roster over the last 2 decades, the best Leafs forward roster, possibly the best iteration of this team point-wise in the standings over the last 20 years. And your goaltending is going to screw you.
Yeah.
Scary. And then that's going to beg the question, why didn't you do anything at the trade deadline? Well, that's because you put in like $5 million to two goalies at the offseason. Yeah. When Campbell comes back, he's going to come back in 2 weeks. They're going to play him more. And they're not going to trade him. I'm going to tell you that right now. They're not going to trade him.
Who? Campbell?
No, Campbell. Campbell's on the Leafs.
They're not trading Campbell. They're not trading Sue. No.
So what happens at this trade deadline is going to be a direct indicator of what they think the starting goalies will be for the Leafs next season. Mrazek's gone. I'm telling you right now, I don't think Mrazek's going to be here after the trade deadline.
Interesting. Okay.
I think Mrazek is traded. I think something happens where he no longer plays for the Leafs, and that means I'm betting on him screwing up this game or something. I'm just playing the trend. Okay. According to his last 14 games of the season, I'm just playing the trend. He's going to get traded somewhere. But what do the Leafs have as options? Like, nothing.
Yeah.
You're going to have to rely on Jack Campbell, but you have Varlamov. Yeah. But what's Varlamov's save percentage this season? How well is he playing?
Hold on. I'll check for you right now. Hold on.
Yes, please.
I think he's like a 910, like a nine. He's over 900. That I know.
What's his cap hit again? I forgot. You mentioned earlier, did you?
It's around four and a half, something like that. It's doable.
It is doable.
Mrazek's 3.9.
Oh my God.
So you're basically committing that money to Varlamov, but you're getting a better goalie. So I mean,
Okay, the other options are you got Fleury. They're not going to get Fleury. The acquisition cost is going to be way too high. And there's a good chance
so
the
Semyon
Leafs
Varlamov,
are on his
sorry,
way.
so Semyon Varlamov, 912 save percentage, 2.85 goals against average.
Okay, not bad. Not bad. How old is he?
But he's 4-12
But the Islanders
because
are also production.
the Islanders are so shit. Semyon Varlamov's 33, so
Not
not
bad.
great, not bad.
Not bad.
If we're being honest, probably in terms of where the Leafs are, probably one of the more realistic trade candidates for goalies, just given the lack of the market. But
Yeah.
yeah.
Can you give me the cap hit for your other two trade deadline acquisitions? I forgot. You also said Subban, right?
Nine.
Man, what world are
Yeah,
you living in right
I have to walk back on that one because here's the thing. Apparently, when I was listening to Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts, or not 32 Thoughts, I was listening to Jeff Merrick, and apparently P.K. Subban might get released.
Oh, okay.
So if that's the case, I think that makes it way more, that's a way more realistic expectation. Than having them trade for him because the
Okay.
just the number is so. I'll have to come up with another one, but Jacob Chychrun's like 4.6 or something like that. It's manageable. It's like four and a
Okay.
half.
So the my top three trade deadline acquisitions were all made in like collaboration, if you will. Like I tried to think about the cap hit that the Leafs could afford this season. Right now they have Muzzin on the IR. And the moves that they can make combined cap hit for these three players would make the most sense. And so that's why I don't have that. I think they're going to make one big splash at the trade deadline in terms of cap hit, and it's not going to be in the goalie position. My prediction, in an ideal world, I would love this, Anton Forsberg from the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yep.
Up until 6 days ago, I was reading this article. This guy had a 12, 10, and 2 record. On the Ottawa Senators, 12, 10, and 2 record, 921 save percentage, 2.69 goals against average. Again, I repeat, on the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
Like every time the Leafs played Anton Forsberg this season and last season, they've been stuck. Like he's been
Yeah.
impossible to answer or solve.
Yeah.
And at the time, every time the Leafs played him, I'm like, fuck, not again, this guy. We're gonna have a horrible time scoring against him. And right now, he is on an expiring deal, $900,000 on the Ottawa Senators. And the Senators, they're not any good this season. They probably won't be any, they'll be a little better next season, but they could use more players, more draft picks, capital, stuff like that. They could get rid of Anton Forsberg and it won't be the end of the world. So that's my pick.
So that's one I've definitely heard thrown around a lot. I guess my counter is, if you're Ottawa, why would you trade him? Like, I just don't get why Ottawa would trade him because he's only 29. Like you said, he's 921, 2.7 goals against average, 13, 10, and 2. He's been really good on a very not good on a team that's not been very good. So I mean, it's gonna be expensive. But at the same time, I think he's probably again, I think in my own mind at this point in time, those are probably the two most realistic goalie trade targets the Leafs have in terms of cost effectiveness, how much like what because I don't I would imagine that Anton Forsberg's cap is not even that high.
900
I would
grand.
suspect it's actually pretty low. No, yeah, 900 grand. So like that's peanuts. Yeah, I just don't. One other name I'll throw out there, because again, I don't know how realistic this a trade like this would be, but like this is something I've thought about a lot, especially the last time they played. I'd be very curious to know if the Leafs kick tires on Craig Anderson.
No, I don't want that.
Well,
I don't want him.
like here's the thing though. Here's the thing. I know we don't want that as fans, but like, if you're the Leafs, like, what other options do you really have? He's a cost-effective goalie.
You're telling me you're confident in Campbell Anderson going into the playoffs?
Well, no, like, because, okay, I would only trade for Craig Anderson if we were getting the actual Jack Campbell back. Because what Craig Anderson gives you, Craig Anderson's not going to be a, like, a 1B kind of, like a tandem guy. He's not. But it gives you a lot more gives it more comfort with your backup goalie than Peter Mrazek. You know what you're getting, generally speaking, with Craig Anderson. With Peter Mrazek right now, you have no idea. And maybe it's kind of like that with Jack Campbell as well, but I feel way more comfortable with Jack Campbell than I do. I feel way more comfortable than Jack Campbell than Peter Mrazek.
100%.
It really just depends. Again, I just don't know how what Kyle Dubas is thinking right now in terms of goaltending, because, like, the thing is, what this rib injury does, to at least in my opinion, for the front office, is it gives them a bit more, I don't want to say security, but I think it makes them feel a bit better that Jack Campbell's going to come back to regular, come back to form.
Yeah.
So I feel like that probably makes them feel a little less urgent, or makes them feel like there's less urgency to make a move. But
yes,
who fucking knows at this point, man?
Which is exactly why I think that they're going to approach this trade deadline with the assumption that they're going to make an assumption here, and that's the best that they have no other choice.
That's all I can do. Nope.
They're going to assume that Jack Campbell's going to come back. He's going to take the number one spot, and he's going to be okay for the rest of the season. They're going to assume that, and I'm okay with them assuming that. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And then they're going to make the rest of their trade deadlines acquisitions around them. Around that,
yeah, idea. Yeah, like, yeah. Like, oh my god, yeah. I don't disagree with that at all. I think if you're the Leafs, that's probably the best way you have to approach it. Because your other option is to go out and get a starting goalie, and I just don't know how realistic that is at this point in time.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the biggest chip right now is Marc-Andre Fleury in terms of goalie, and they're not going to make that's not going to happen for the Leafs.
I've seen it tossed around. I just don't know how realistic it is with the $7 million cap hit. Like, even if they retain 50%, that's still 3.5, which is basically Semyon Varlamov's cap hit. And it's also way bigger than Anton Forsberg's cap hit. So, like...
Or they could do, like, a three-way team thing that they did with Nick Foligno last year, but, like...
Yeah.
Man, I'm not
really... I also just don't see them moving Mrazek and... bringing in and moving assets to bring in Fleury for 1 year, because I genuinely believe this is probably Marc-Andre Fleury's last year in the NHL.
Possibly.
I don't know how likely it is, but like the fact that he basically got traded to Chicago last year and he was genuinely thinking about not playing, like,
yeah, I don't know, man.
Like, it just,
he's gonna want to land this post-trade deadline season. He's going to want to be on a cup team. And the Leafs are good, but will Marc-Andre Fleury want to play on the Leafs as his last chance at a cup? I doubt it. So that's my justification there as to why MAF, the flower, won't come here.
Let me throw one more name out there.
Okay.
Because this is one I've heard recently. There's one goalie who has been thrown around a bit, who Leafs have been connected to in the past. Alexander Georgiev
of
the New York Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the Rangers are looking to offload him or potentially trade him at the trade deadline. If you are the Leafs, he's making $2.425 million, so almost $2.5 million. He's an RFA at the end of the year. So that means the Leafs would still have control of Alex Georgiev. He's currently 26. So again, he's not young, but he's also not super old. Again, I don't know how expensive he is, but like, Shesterkin's clearly the horse there. He's one of the top MVP candidates in the league right now. I don't think Georgiev, like, I don't know, man. Like, I think it's a real good shot that he gets traded. Apparently, a lot of people around the team think he's going to get traded. So, I mean, not a bad option.
Yeah, I feel like something's going to happen. New York's in a similar spot to Toronto right now, where they want to get rid of an existing player on the roster so they have more cap space so that they can make a bigger acquisition on the other positions on the team.
Yeah.
And Georgiev makes sense, although...
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm just throwing a potential scenario, maybe like a three-way trade where Leafs give up Mrazek to this team, Team X, Leafs get Georgiev from New York, and Team X gives a player to New York, something like that. Let's just see.
Like, the interesting thing about Mrazek, I saw, because, like, I think people think there's at least some scenario where he does go to Chicago, just to give him a goal, just to give them a goalie with term. Not a good one, but just a goalie with term. And I guess from that perspective, I get it. But, like, anyways, I think Georgiev would be a really nice fit. His numbers are down. Like, he has an .893 save percentage, 3 point something goals against average. But what I will say is, if you look at the Rangers' underlying numbers, if they don't have Igor Shesterkin, I think most goalies have that. I think most goalies, the stats go down. Like, they've been brutal defensively, and it's honestly impressive that they're so high in the standings right now. But anyways, just something to keep in mind.
Let's move on to the other two. We spent a lot of time on the goalies. Makes sense.
Yeah, we did. We have her.
I want to go first. So yeah, go for it. I said 900 grand on Anton Forsberg.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be curious if any of these predictions actually come through. But I think the Leafs, they're going to assume Campbell's going to be okay, which is why they're going to actually spend more of their assets, more of their time and effort on getting a defenseman at the trade deadline. And let that not be understated. They need a defenseman. They need a defenseman. Right now, your pairings are, according, this was the last game roster, Riley Liljegren, top pairing.
Yep.
You got Brody and Hall, second pairing.
Yeah.
And Dermot Bush on the third pairing.
Yeah.
How confident are you, Mr. Simon, on a scale of 1 to 10, that this is your, well, number one, how confident are you that this is your starting six defensemen for the playoffs? And B, if they are your starting six, how stunned will you be? And how scared will you be?
How scared will I be depending on who they play, to be honest with you? Because here's the thing, right? Like, okay. How scared will I be depends. How confident am I in this group? Not at all. I have confidence in some pieces. I think TJ Brody will bounce back next a little bit. I think Morgan Riley, he's been really good since signing his extension. He's hit a little bit of a rough patch as of late, which is fine. That's going to happen. And shout out Justin Hall, man. Justin Hall's been way better. Way better. Now this is something. Anyways, I'll get to my next. There's something I want to bring up in a bit. But anyways, this isn't it. And the reason I say that is because they're rotating like four guys in and out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Dermot, Liljegren, Sandin. If they can get one more guy, one or two more guys, just maybe like one mainstay and like one depth defenseman like Ben Hutton last year. If they can do that, I'm fine. Like I'm fine with the rest of their trade deadline.
And so right now, in an ideal world, my starting six defenseman for the Toronto Maple Leafs, if you go in the playoffs, what do you need in the playoffs? You need consistency. You need to make sure that whatever your roster is, you don't want to make any big changes game in and game out. You don't want to rotate a player in and rotate a player out. You want to keep it the same because the playoffs are super like luck-based and you need to make sure your core that you're putting out there on the ice every single game is confident that they're going to return for the next game. You need the confidence.
Correct.
So you got ideal world, Raleigh Brody. Let's return to that pairing. It worked last playoffs and it works. We know it works.
Please.
Don't touch it. Muzzin's going to come back for the playoffs. He will. So I'm gonna leave this open to interpretation now, whether this is going to be the second pairing or the third pairing. I would honestly start Muzzin on the third pairing because he's going to need some ramp up time. Okay. And you don't want him to get injured again. He has an extensive injury history. You want to slow him in, slowly play him again because he's coming off two concussions now this season. That's big. Yep. That's huge. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting old too.
Mm-hmm.
You got Muzzin. And on the right side, you have X. I don't know.
That's Justin Hall.
Justin Hall?
No. Sorry, Labushkin.
Labushkin?
Honestly,
Muzzin, Labushkin? Maybe, right?
I don't mind that pair.
I don't mind it. It could be better.
A little slow. That's a little slow. It's a little slow, a little slow. Okay.
But so, yeah, sorry. That's what I'm saying. You need someone to play with Muzzin, right? You either need someone to play with Muzzin or you need to replace Muzzin, because I think Muzzin, what are the, I'm going to play the pattern again. What's the trend? He gets injured a lot. If Muzzin goes down with an injury, who are you going to replace? Who's going to replace this spot?
This is my thing, right? Okay, maybe this is a good time for me to bring it up. I love Jake Muzzin. I like him a lot. He's making, what?
4.5
5.625 this year, next year, and the year after. So under $6 million. Do you trade Jake Muzzin?
Oh.
Here is the thing. Last year, Jake Muzzin was one of, I would argue he was their best defenseman from start to finish of the year. Maybe number two behind TJ Brody in terms of an all-around game, in terms of actually playing defense. Morgan Riley is their best offensive defenseman. Mm-hmm. In terms of all-around defense, I think Muzzin or Brody were two of their best defensemen. The problem is the last two postseasons now, he's been injured. Mm-hmm. And they haven't had him. Now, granted, Muzzin was hurt at the end of the Habs series, so that's fine. But he played six games, whatever. But, like, and the thing is, like, Justin Hall started playing better after Muzzin went down. And I tried so hard not to put that on Muzzin. And I'm not blaming Muzzin for anything. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's been, like, I'm convinced he's probably been playing hurt majority of the season, playing through stuff. But, like, do we not think there's like a team out there that would like to take a bet on Jake Muzzin? Maybe like, again, I don't know what you would trade him for. That's the problem, because his value is not like you're trading a depreciating asset right now. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get a lot of value back for it. Maybe this is an offseason thing, but like, man, the Leafs could do so much with that cap space, almost $6 million. Anyways, this is such a silly conversation to have, but like, because the thing is, now,
I'm open,
like,
to entertaining that conversation.
Exactly, me too. And I think it's a lot of the one that not a lot of people have talked about. But like, man, I'm looking at our defense core right now. But like, Ilya Lyubushkin, Ilya Lyubushkin and Jake Muzzin, we just said it. They're both very slow. And again, if you want to have Lyubushkin long term, which I do think they should try to do, the guy's only 27 years old. He makes $1.35 million, and the one thing the Leafs do very poorly. Anyways, I think the Leafs defense could be over. The Leafs, if not over, but like, I think there could be in for overhaul in the offseason, outside of like Brody and Riley. And minus like I'm not counting prospects like Sandin and Lilligren. I guess not prospects anymore, but like,
they're not going to be Sandin. Of the last however many seasons Jake Muzzin has been in the league, since 2010-2011, what was the last season that you know of, take a guess here, that he played a complete healthy regular season?
Oh man, okay, let's see. Last year, I don't think it's last year. It's going to be something ridiculous, like 2016-2017 or something like that.
7 years ago, 2016-2017. Oh my god. 7 seasons ago. Yeah. And he only had two healthy seasons, complete 82 seasons in his entire life. LA Kings 15-16 and 16-17.
Only two. Oh, okay. That's not good.
Two completely healthy seasons. Season after that, 74 games. Season after that, 50 games.
Yeah,
that's not good. And then 30 games on the Leafs. Sorry, I'm reading that wrong, because technically 18-19 he was traded from LA to Toronto.
Yes. Yeah, but so I get what you mean. But yeah. Who would you bring in defense wise at the trade deadline, if anyone?
This guy has a $4.5 million cap hit. He would be a rental, because his cap hit expires at the end of the season. He plays on the Chicago Blackhawks, currently on their top pairing, lefty. He is kind of like a Jake Muzzin. You know who I'm talking about?
Is it Connor Murphy?
No, it's not. It's not. He's a defensive defenseman.
I don't know, man. I don't know the Blackhawks roster. I don't know.
Calvin DeHaan.
Okay. Not bad. Calvin DeHaan.
Yeah. And here is my justification for this, although I kind of already said this now. You need a replacement for Jake Muzzin if he goes down with injury again. And again, according to the trend, he most likely will. You need someone to replace him. Who's going to take a spot?
Can I say my vote? Can I say my name? I have another one.
Sure.
Josh Manson.
Okay.
He's going to be dumb expensive. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be again, another rental. Okay, so here's the thing. The Anaheim Ducks have two defensemen that I personally am going to keep a very close eye on, because I think both of them, they'd fit the Leafs very well.
Quick thing. Can I say one thing quickly before you say that?
Yes, of course.
I was reading about Josh Manson, and yes, he would be very expensive.
Yes.
I think I heard this from somewhere that they would move Josh Manson if they're confident on re-signing Hampus Lindholm.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
if Hampus Lindholm is going to leave, then they might sign Josh Manson.
The thing is, I've heard all three. Like, they have three. I think Raquel, Lindholm, and Manson are all on the table. Not all three of them will probably get traded, but they're all on the table. So if you're the Leafs, I could see you kicking tires on either Lindholm or Manson. I think they take a real shot at Manson, just given his style of play fits what they need. He's a massive guy. He's an absolute bitch to play against. He's a mean motherfucker. He is mean. That guy is a scary man. Yeah, he's 30 years old, $4.1 million cap hit, plays on the right side. And then you're basically, your right side becomes Brody, Manson, and Labushkin potentially. And then your left side becomes Riley, Jake Muzzin if he's healthy, or maybe not. And then figure out what you want to do with Justin Hall. I think Josh Manson addresses so many of the needs that the Leafs have. Now, granted, I don't know what they would ask, because he only has 1 year left on his contract. They probably wouldn't have to retain any salary, actually, if you do it properly. You can, and to be honest, that's a team you could probably send Peter Mrazek to for 2 years, to make the salary cap numbers work. Again, I don't know. I'm just spitballing at this point, but I think the Ducks and the Leafs have been a trade, either Lindholm or Manson that's been kind of in the stars for a while. And I think now would be an ideal time to do it, just given, especially now that the Ducks are finally starting to look up a bit and might want to get a couple more young assets before kind of fully going into we are going for the playoffs. But anyways,
I think in order for the Leafs to acquire any of these players that we're talking about right now, one or two of the following players will be traded this offseason: Mrazek, Hall, Muzzin. I think one or two of them will be traded this trade deadline.
I think all three will, to be honest. depending on how things go.
Bold prediction. Yeah. I doubt all three will, to be honest. That's a lot.
But here's the thing, though.
But you need the space. Yes. You need the space to acquire someone like Josh Manson.
You need the space. Or Calvin DeHaan. Yep. You need the space, for sure. My thing is, how comfortable are you that the way that Justin Hall has been playing is actual Justin Hall, and how much of it? Because my thing is, we saw how bad Justin Hall was. We saw it. And it got to a point where the Leafs could, people were calling him he was an NHL player. You couldn't trust his decision-making process. Now that he's finally playing well, and he's actually finally bringing his value back up, how comfortable are you that he's not going to suck again? Because if it is, I think you move him. Because if you're not comfortable, I think you move him before it gets worse. Because at very worst, he's a second pair right D. And And that's something a lot of people want. And the Leafs have players coming up. Lilligren's a righty. Labushkin's there. Mm-hmm. If they extend him, I think they will. I really hope they do. And then Brody, you don't need Hall anymore.
Yeah.
And Muzz, I spoke my mind 2 minutes ago. But
I have a feeling. I'm open to the idea of trading Muzzin, but I think he's going to stay. I don't think the Leafs are going to move him.
I really hope he gets back to form and they keep him. Because he's such, when he's playing, when he is healthy and fine, and especially last year, he was so good.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And look, he's also on the LTIR right now, which would help the Leafs going into the playoffs, actually. because you're allowed to have an inflated roster, right?
The Nikita Kucherov rule, but yes, that too. Yeah.
So that's why I think Jake Muzzin won't be moved. But in my potential Calvin DeHaan trade that the Leafs make, they would send Justin Hall out to the place he was drafted in, actually. Chicago
Blackhawks. Yeah, that's kind of funny. Yeah.
And then they bring Calvin DeHaan in on a rental. Two,
three, four.
And so I'm going to quickly mention my third trade deadline acquisition. This is kind of just, this is just wishful thinking. You already know who it is.
God. And Sidney Crosby.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Evgeny Malkin. This is just, this is stupid. But look, life is stupid, right? It's most likely
not gonna happen. Stupid.
Oh, it's not gonna happen.
Okay.
But like, how fun would it be? How fucking hilarious and fun would this be? Considering the story over the last decade.
No.
What? Do you know? Okay, I'm not gonna even ask for your guess because I know I mentioned this last episode. All right, this guy currently playing for the New York Islanders, 250 pounds, 6 foot.
No, 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 no.
6 foot nine. Big Z, baby, let's go.
Why? Like, okay, okay. Look, here's the thing.
How cool would it be? This is just, forget the stats, man. How cool would it be? How much of a shit disturber? How much of a body mover? Would this guy be in the playoffs for the Leafs? You need someone like this, no?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing.
Like, your seventh defenseman, your sixth defenseman, how bad of an idea is it if he's that far down your lineup?
I think you have the right team. I think you have the wrong defenseman. Because if I'm on the Islanders, if I'm calling the Islanders, I'm calling about Scott Mayfield. 29 years old. Anyways, I think Chara, again, like, I'll address your Chara acquisition. I don't think I, despite my reaction, I don't think it's a bad move at all. I don't think it's a bad fit. He's slow,
very slow,
and
very slow.
And the thing we talked about Nick Ritchie about was he's very slow, can't really move, and that very severely impacted his effectiveness on the Leafs. Now, granted, different position, but like if you're a defenseman, that's slow. I have concerns, which is why I'm kind of, I think there's real potential for the Leafs, again, if they feel like they need to make a goaltending move. I could see the Islanders being a one-stop shop where you get Scott Mayfield and Semyon Varlamov, because that's only, so Varlamov's cap, it's 5. So that's a total cap hit of 6.5 almost. So again, you probably move Mrazek back to New York. I honestly think that's a good fit for Mrazek. Very, very stingy defensive system allows him to kind of get back to basics. So that's 3.4. And then maybe you throw in Alex Kerfoot. That's like another, that's 6 point something. Like I think it's almost 7 million. Anyways, like just that's just strictly hypothetical. But like, Scott Mayfield's also only 29. And he has another year left on his contract.
Yeah.
So. And the one thing it feels like the one thing we've heard Kyle Dubas talk about at length this season so far is how they don't want to trade like a lot of assets for like rental players, which I get, but anyways.
I think right now Chara has a cap hit of 750 grand.
Yeah.
So again, this is just pennies on the dollar acquisition. But in a world where they acquire both Zdeno Chara and Calvin DeHaan, this is what their playoff roster would look like for defense. Riley Brody. Mm.
Yeah.
Muzzin and DeHaan, or DeHaan Muzzin. I don't know. Because apparently the uncapped friendly DeHaan can play the left and right side. So I'm just going according to that.
Yeah.
So I think the Muzzin's
like that as well.
Muzzin DeHaan, let's say. Which would be, think about your shutdown pairing. Oh my God, Muzzin DeHaan.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
How good would that be?
Yeah.
And then you got Sandin and Bush, or Sandin and Chara, combination of that. Because you need to put, if you have Chara, the only player that can work with him would be Sandy. You need someone who's a good puck mover, someone who's quick on the
feet. Yeah.
You can't put him with Muzzin. You can't put him with DeHaan or Bush. No.
Honestly, if the Leafs get Chara, I think they get him as a 7 defenseman. I'm just sitting here now thinking about it. I can't see them like playing him regularly.
You know, no.
Like now they do that with Spez and like with Simmons, but like, there's way different animals, big like, oh my god, that'd be so gross. Imagine having Simmons and Char on the ice at the same fucking time. Oh my god.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah. I'd be if they get DeHaan, I'd be really interested to see if they do a DeHaan Riley pairing, and then you move Brody down, like, because, like, basically gives you, because Brody can move the puck. Brody's a very good defensive, but he can also move the puck like very well. So I mean, like, gives you a bit more flexibility. Now Grant, yeah. Anyways, like, yeah, man. Like, I also think that we have to be a bit careful, because I think at this point now, I think a lot of, again, I didn't watch Hot Stove yesterday, whatever the intermission was, because I wasn't really watching the hockey at all because the Leafs weren't playing. But like, apparently Friedman and Merrick reported that there's a chance that a lot of the big names don't go. Specifically because I think a lot of teams don't want to commit a lot of assets to a lot of these players, which is fine, but like,
yeah,
that's why the NHL trade deadline sucks, but whatever.
The one caveat I also want to throw in here is, according to my ideal top six, Dermott would not be in it either, and I'm okay with that.
He's gone anyways, in my opinion. I think he's, I really, really like Dermott, like the person.
Yeah.
I just don't think he fits the Leafs window, and I think he could be very useful somewhere else. I don't know what role that is. I don't know what team that is. The Leafs just have a surplus of mediocre defensemen, like not great, but mediocre. And like, unfortunately, he kind of has the shaft, because I think he's like the oldest out of the three of them, between him, Liljegren, and Sandin. So
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's moved.
I think, like, yeah, who knows? I don't know.
Calvin DeHaan, additional justification on him. He is fourth in the NHL amongst defensemen in shots blocked per 60 minutes, which is 7.19 shots blocked per 60 minutes. That's a fuck ton. He also has a $4.55 million cap hit. So, again, this would require some sort of retention if you move Hall back.
Is that DeHaan?
DeHaan.
Okay.
And yeah, good defenseman or two-way. I think he would be an excellent fit on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I think so as well. I think I do think it'd be a nice fit. He was rumored to come here the year that JT came here. So I mean, it's kind of too bad he didn't. But I think he and JT are actually friends or something. I can't remember. I think. Oh no, they played together. DeHaan is an Islander. Right. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So relationship there. yeah. I don't know.
And like, if anyone's hoping for John Klingberg to come to the Leafs, that's not happening. Please give up on that dream right now. First of all, that's not what the Leafs need. And second of all, Kings are doing really well now, and they're not going to give up Klingberg.
The Kings?
Sorry, the Stars.
Also, Heiskanen just went down, so they're not trading him.
Yeah.
Heiskanen is mono, which is out indefinitely. So, again, hopefully he gets better, but he's not going to be back anytime soon. So.
Yeah. So that's that. I'm happy with leaving this episode there on our top three. Wait, did you say your third?
I didn't.
You didn't say your second?
No, I did. Because I said I want, I gave three. I gave Varlamov. I gave four. Because I said, like, I would love to have Mayfield. I'd love to have Manson. I'd love to have Lindholm.
Too bad.
The one I'll throw out there is Jacob Chychrun is the last one, because this is one I prefaced last episode.
Yeah.
Jacob Chychrun got hurt last night, so that's not good. But it could be out long term. Who knows? So that might impact whether or not they actually move him. But Jacob Chychrun, I think, is the only asset I would move like significant pieces for. For all the reasons I said at the beginning of the episode, I don't think this should be an all-in year for the Leafs. In the minds of the fans, I think it is, because just of how poorly they've performed in the playoffs the last couple of years. But just with the goaltending and everything, I just don't know. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to go out and go get like a JT Miller and spend all these assets.
No.
Jacob Chychrun addresses a need now and in the future, and he's young. Like, I don't know what it would cost to get him. I don't know what the Coyotes would want, but it's significant considering Jacob Chychrun is only 23 years old, and he has three years left on his contract after the season at $4.6 million, and he can play the right side.
Yep.
He is the best player on the market in terms of potential, in terms of the position he plays, in terms of his cap hit. The Leafs can make it work. I would like, because there's your Muzzin replacement. There it is, right there. Penalty kill. He's massive. Like Jacob Chychrun is a big boy, I'm pretty sure. Not huge, but he's big. And the Coyotes don't need him. They're not going to be competitive for like another 4 years. He's 6'2", 188. He shoots left, but he can't play the right side. So, like, again, this is the only real player available on the market right now where I would move, like, any top prospects, any draft, like, any significant draft compensation for, like, outside of, like,
yeah,
an actual all-star player who becomes available. Because you never know what those types. Also, like, a lot of players can be available. But in terms of the players that have been rumored on the, like, rumored to be potentially getting moved, Jacob Chychrun's like, he's my guy. He is my horse for the trade deadline.
I think one last thing I'm going to say this episode is I'd be completely fine if the Leafs don't make any addition to their forward roster for the remainder of the season. I'll be completely
okay. I agree. Is it like, and I don't think it happens, to be honest, because they have more pressing needs.
Yeah. I think Nick Robertson, if you need someone going into the playoffs for an extra forward, you got Nick Robertson, man.
Continue to play for more games. He could also get moved.
Yeah, depending.
So, but if that's the case, you can just move Kerfoot up, because I think Kerfoot's better there than, or Kasha. That, like, the Leafs have such a diverse forward core, such a great forward group right now, such a deep group that, like, I'm not really worried. Their defense core is where the main cause of concern is. So, if they can get one or two, I think if they can get two bodies, I'll be fine. And maybe a goalie. But even the goalie, I'm not like, I just don't think it's realistic. Ed Nygren, Anton Forsberg. I hope they get him. Okay. Ottawa needs a cap floor. So
right.
send him to the Islanders. Sorry, no, send him to Ottawa.
So that's it for today.
No. What? One more thing. Give me your score prediction for today. That is why we're gathered here today at this hallowed hall.
So I think it's going to be a gong show. I think both goalies are going to have a difficult time.
I think both goalies get pulled. No, I'm joking. I think one gets pulled.
You're going to put it color? I think it's going to be like, I say 5-4 for the Leafs overtime win.
Interesting. I have 6-3 Leafs.
So similar.
Yeah. Also, what jersey should I wear today? Should I wear my sexy Reebok Matthews jersey?
Yes.
Should I wear my? Okay, that's the one. Okay.
Wear the dark one. Whatever matches with the.
Should I wear my Joffrey Lupo All-Star Game jersey?
No.
No, I wouldn't. Oh, that's too bad. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Anyways, Mr. Armand, I will see you later. Oh my goodness, that's so crazy. Yeah. I can't believe I'm going. Yeah. Oh wow, I'm so excited now. It's like, oh my goodness, it's almost noon. Holy cow. Yeah. We'll see for all the fans that are there, all the listeners that are there. Yeah, we don't know fans. What am I talking about? For all our listeners that are there, come say hi. Section 120. That's called the taxi terminal, I guess. That's what I'm calling our little grandstand. It's called the taxi terminal now. But yeah, we'll see you soon. Yeah.